Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast.
My name's Anita Aguilar.
I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money is just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point in time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. I am super happy and grateful that you are tuning in today because you are all in for a treat. I cannot wait to introduce you to my guest today. But before I do, I just want to give a warm, warm welcome to all of our new listeners. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the podcast. All of my day ones, thank you again for coming back and being loyal listeners. I just want to remind you guys that it helps us so much when you share this podcast and you also leave us a review on iTunes. I know a lot of people are listening on all different types of platforms, but I'm telling you guys that it helps us so, so, so much when you leave these reviews. So again, thank you guys for listening. And I want to remind you also that this episode is going to be on YouTube so you can actually see us. So if you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure you do so. We just also uploaded a guided meditation. So if you guys are super new to reprogramming your subconscious mind to attract money, make sure you listen to that, guys. It's been really, really huge in helping a lot of people. So my name is Anita. I am your host, a money mindset coach. And what I like to do before we get into the episode is actually share some manifestation stories. So I actually wanted to share this story just because all the synchronicities. So Mariah Rodriguez actually said this on the Zoom the other day, but I wanted to again share it on the podcast because it was just so freaking awesome. And I just love the synchronicities. So Mariah, if you're listening to this, thank you again for sharing this. But a couple weeks ago, I saw on a TikTok video about getting two pictures for free. And I remember thinking, I haven't manifested free pictures, LMAO. But they were free. So of course I got them. I finally went to go pick them up today. And when I got home, I was going to put them aside because I didn't really need them. Then I look on my wall and I notice two empty frames that I didn't want to toss when I was cleaning the house, and they were just hanging. And these picture frames were empty, and them being empty for I don't even remember how long. So, well, my free pictures were the exact same size as my empty picture frames that were just hanging there on the wall for God knows how long. And I was just going nuts because I had no one to tell the story to until Anita called me up on the Zoom yesterday. Guys, this is what Anita is meant for, her course and what she said, create space for the manifestations. I love this because in her exercise in the 31 Days of Abundance, I really talk about actually physically clearing out your clutter because your material things hold so much energy, guys. So she was cleaning her house. She put these picture frames on the wall. She completely forgot about them. And then she just so happened to win two different pictures that fit the exact same frames that she had from some girl on TikTok. So look at the synchronicity there. I just thought that was such a fun story. Last announcement I want to give you guys before we get into the podcast episode is that we are doing a Christmas party. I'm literally so excited about this. You guys have no idea. I love teaching manifestation. I love the podcast. But one of my favorite things in the world is really celebrating and live energy. So this Christmas party is going to be hosted in San Diego. And there's actually a special rate for the tickets right now. If you guys go to the show notes, you'll actually see the pre-sale. So pretty much the first 50 people will get that specific rate. And this is just our little thank you and our little get together for people who have been supporting the podcast, who've been supporting us on TikTok, on Instagram, all of our social media, for you guys to actually come and meet not only us, but your favorite TikTokers too. So Ricardo, our guest today, is actually going to be at this party as well. And we're just going to be having a lot of fun giveaways, giving some prizes away. We're going to have it virtually as well because I know we have a lot of followers who really can't make it all the way down here at the West Coast. But I'm telling you, if you're in this area and you're free December 18th, we would love to see you here. Okay. So we have a couple other TikTokers that we're going to have. So stay tuned on our social media. I'll be showing you guys who's connecting and collaborating with us and helping out with the giveaways. And actually 10% of the proceeds of the event is actually going towards suicide awareness. So this is like our little fun end of the year shebang, but also going to our good cause. And we actually get to see everybody too. So that's the last of my announcements. Now let's get to this amazing episode with Ricardo. So Ricardo is the CEO founder of Financial ER, and essentially he helps people really restore this relationship that they have with their credit. And I love learning from people like Ricardo because he actually is speaking from experience. So some amazing things about his story is that he actually fell into the position that he's in now. As you guys will see throughout his story, that it was never his plan to start teaching people how to do this. It actually fell in his lap because of TikTok. And it's crazy to see how fast everything can shift. And one of the most amazing things about his story is how he really took all of the adversity that had happened to him. He got out of this victim mentality and he really used his struggles to really help motivate him and put a fire under him and to really make this shift. And so his mindset along with this aligned action, guys, is what led him to where he's at today. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear his story, and make sure that you book a free call with Ricardo. I'm going to be bugging you guys all week on Instagram, reminding you to book a free call with him and his team to really help you guys out with your credit. Because one thing money doesn't change is that relationship that you have with your credit. So super excited. Now let's get into the episode. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. I am super happy and grateful because we are actually live today. And you guys know how much I love live energy. So today I have Ricardo here. I just gave him a really thorough introduction and I still have so many great things to say about you. But my first question for you is, how was the drive?
The drive was amazing. The reason being is, like I was saying to you earlier, I'm from the Palm Springs area, so it's really warm out there. Coming over here to the cooler area, this is winter for me.
Wow. Yeah,
so it's really cool to be here, you know, going out with my family for dinner and just, you know, everything is great, peaceful, just like it's supposed to be.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I have a story about how I manifested you, but we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing.
So we'll get start with some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
To warm you up a little bit.
Let's do it.
So the first question for you is, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Acapulco, that's southern Mexico, you know, port style life. So very humid, totally different compared to the dry heat that I'm used to nowadays. Yeah.
Yes, noted. My second question for you is, what is your favorite book and why?
I think my favorite book right now, because they do change from time to time, would be The Magic of Thinking Big.
Wow.
The reason being is because it's very true what the author says. It's whatever you put in your mind, you truly manifest. Mm-hmm. You know, if you let Mr. Triumph just kind of manifest those thoughts of, you know, winning all day, that's exactly what you're going to receive versus Mr. Defeat. If you're just defeating yourself mentally, that is exactly what's going to be manifested in your life on that daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's it called again?
It's called The Magic of Thinking Big.
You know what? I feel like that is what's in my audiobook right now.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
And we're both reading Atomic Habits.
Atomic Habits is a great book. We just picked it up on our last week, actually, when we were down here in San Diego. And we went to the Amazon store right there at the mall. And I was like, hey, this book looks cool. You know, let me just put it in my bag. So awesome book.
Love Isn't it so that far. Funny?
Yeah. The power of 1%, you know, making yourself better 1% a day makes a huge difference over a long period of time.
Yeah, and I like it because it really teaches you about habits and stuff. So if you guys are, like, for those of you watching, we'll put the books in the show notes because, like, I love having the resources available for everybody. So my third rapid-fire question for you is, who is your first mentor?
My first mentor. Based on the line of work that I do now, I would say, actually, you know what? Let me go back, actually, prior to that. My first mentor is a local guy named Mario Castillo. Mm. And all credit goes to him for starting my entrepreneurship journey, because he was truly a person that taught me the importance of attending events, reading books, listening to podcasts, things that would make me shift my mindset from where I was to where I wanted to be. Mm. At the moment, I didn't understand it, but the way he was so persuasive and truly was a friend when he was teaching me these things really, really made today's journey possible to where we're at. So, yeah. Mario, if you're going to listen to this, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Seriously, like, huge shout out, because people don't know, like, how them really taking us under their wing when we first start out with this kind of stuff. It's such a huge impact. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people have imposter syndrome. Like, did I help them enough? And then I'm like, you guys have no idea how much, you know, maybe them giving us advice is like.
Right.
So yeah. Shout out. What's his name? Mario again?
Mario. Yeah.
Mario. Thank you. Wow. Look at him. That's so beautiful. So my next rapid fire question for you is, when is the first time that you invested in yourself, and how much was it?
The first time I invested in myself was, it was actually with that mentor, excuse me. He got me into network marketing. Yeah. So I started my entrepreneurship journey, with Amway.
Bro!
Are you serious?
Same.
Oh my goodness. That's so funny. Well, now you know where I'm coming from.
True.
Right. And for those of you guys that don't know about network marketing, it's probably one of the best investments and super cheapest investments you can make, because of the fact that this type of business, if you will, focuses on what Anita truly does and what she, you know, puts out there, which is the power of being able to manifest through education. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got out of Amway. That's what Mario was teaching me and what he was mentoring me through, which was to change my mindset through podcasts, through videos, through audiobooks, you know, and all that stuff. And events, which is a huge thing.
Events, yeah. So huge. This is so funny in synchrony, because just to give you a little backstory, like, that was my first mentor too.
Oh, really?
And it was, you know how you go to coffee shops and it was like, they're like, do you guys read books? And I was like, how are they reading the exact same books that I literally just picked up the same week? And it really is. I always tell people with network marketing, it's like, I still use every single skill set that I learned. And I think it was just a shift of, like, when you get around people like that, right? Mm-hmm. They want more. They're educated. They're doing different things on the weekends. And it's just such a beautiful. So I'm so happy about that.
That's so funny. That's cool.
So that was my last rapid fire question for
you. Okay.
But those are just so fun to get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's so many amazing things that I want to pull from your story. And especially Amway, I want to go back to that. This is so funny.
Okay.
But where I really like to start, and just give you, like, a little bit more information about the podcast and what I'll be doing throughout the interview, because I like to explain to the listeners the science behind why, when you shifted, you started working on something new, when you started releasing all these new things that were no longer serving you, and you started educating, and you started thinking it's positive. There's so much science behind it. And so where I really like to start is, was what you're doing now always a plan? And so I really want to know, like, coming, I don't know, maybe out of high school, like, what was your original plan? And did it really fall into place of what you're doing now?
Okay, got it. Yeah, well, definitely, you know, from what I'm doing now, you know, which is credit repair and education, which is my true passion. I love teaching. I love educating. My plan, like, when I was in high school, I graduated in 07. Mm-hmm. It was pursuing a musician's career. I actually come from a line of musicians.
Wow.
My father sings. My brother is a full-time musician, and so am I. I'm a part-time musician, but I've been doing music since I was a junior. Funny story. My teachers would actually go see me at the show, so I would sleep in class.
What?
Full granted, it was okay, right? Because of the fact that they would go and party.
Wow.
So that's a little funny story there from high school. But in reality, you know, I imagined myself as a musician doing music, but really my mentality wasn't thinking big whatsoever. It's like, hey, I'm going to get myself a nice little car where I can fit all my instruments in. Mm. And, you know, I'm going to be gigging, you know, and as I got married right out of high school with my high school sweetheart, you know, things didn't just really progressed the way that I thought they were going to, just because now being married, everything changes, and it doesn't change for the negative, it changes for the positive, because it makes you grow. Mm. But it just didn't align with my initial thoughts of where I thought I was going to be. And there was some type of conflict there, because, you know, working nightlife, it's not always the easiest, especially when you have children.
Wow.
Yeah. So as things started to shift, now I really went into what I do now. You know, a bunch of things happened, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you guys about it. A bunch of things happened that led me to a road of decision making, really. You know, and I think that's where really the shift happens for anybody. I've never heard anyone's success story from a book or an audiobook, a podcast, or a video saying, hey, I was in the most comfortable place in my life. And that's when everything great happened that I have now.
Yeah, you're right? So chill. I got chills when you said that.
Yeah. So everything that happens for the best to actually improve yourself, to get out of the comfort zone, comes from a place really where you're very low in life. So. And that's just my two cents.
So. Mm-hmm. And so for your parents, right? So are you a first generation here in?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So your parents, was there anything that they wanted you to specifically do, go to college, do X, Y, and Z, or were they really supportive of the music career?
My parents have been supportive of whatever decision I wanted to make. Originally, they were like, hey, you know, look into college. Mm-hmm. I went to community college. Believe it or not, I was doing full-time music for a living, and I failed music in college twice.
What?
School is not my thing. You know, I learn a different way. I'm a hands-on learner. So for some reason, I just couldn't do great in school and music, and I said, you know what, this is not for me. So then I got into corporate America. So I was working at night, and then I was also working in the banking industry for about 10 years, you know, in multiple different banks. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay. Wait, we got to go back now. This is crazy. Okay. Oh, sorry. I remember this part of your story too. Okay. So let's go back to your releasing music. What was that shift like?
Me getting out of music? Mm-hmm. So me getting out of music really came down to me being able to work 40 hours during the day, having a brand new baby, working 4 to 5 nights a week, and just really not having a marriage relationship, not being able to be there for my son at the time, and not having personal time for myself. I was just a working machine, really. So I started having a lot of issues within my marriage. And that kind of led to, is this really what I want to continue to do? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. We had a good lifestyle. We had a house and we had good things. We had new cars, but it's not worth the material items if you don't have that internal peace, if you don't feel like you're working for something greater. I felt like I was just working for material items, and it wasn't worth the body sacrifice as well as my relationship that was not going anywhere. It was stagnant. So that's when that shift started to happen as to like, is music really what I want to do for a living? And slowly I started putting that idea in my mind. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I would switch jobs and I would still keep music. It's like, well, why can I release music and switch a different job at the same time? And that's when really things happen. And then I'll go into detail about this, but what actually shifted me from where I was to where I'm at now, it was when my dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor. My dad was living with us at our house. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And due to the medication that they gave him, he had some complications that led him to the hospital. He got diverticulitis. That's a matter of life and death. And a week later, he got a second diverticulitis. At that point, he was completely out.
Wow.
Every day that he woke up was a blessed day.
Wow.
So my brother and I would drive about an hour and a half away to the hospital where he was at because, hey, that day he woke up. Let's go see him. We don't know if he's going to wake up tomorrow. I got let go of the bank that I was working at. At the time, due to having no income, we were forced to basically have our cars repossessed. We sold our home. We started living off of our credit cards. And then we just got them charged off. You know, and basically went into debt before we knew it. We were almost $113,000 in debt.
Wow.
With no income and a baby, a 3-year-old baby. So it was a very hard place to be at. We spoke to a bankruptcy attorney. It made sense for me to actually do a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which for those of you guys that don't know, that is the worst thing you can do financially speaking. You are declaring it to the world that you don't know how to keep a financial balance sheet. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that was the major shift in my life. It was no place of comfort whatsoever, for sure. And due to that, that's where I got into what I do now, which is credit repair. I learned about the industry, learned how it works. And literally, I'm just going to come out and say it. In 15 months from that place, I made it to the Millionaire's Club.
full body chills. This is so beautiful.
But, you know, I do want to say something. When I say I, it's not just me. Mm. There's a whole effort of team behind everything that I do. You know, the success is not just upon myself. It's the entire team. I started this project, and then my business partner came along the way and just projected the ideas that he had. We made it work, and then we grew a team. And before we know it, we have more than 10 employees working all together. So, and everybody from the comfort of their home, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yes. There's just so many things that I want to go back to.
Fire away.
Especially the hardships, right? So first I want to say I'm sorry about your father.
By the way, he's actually the world's happiest Uber driver. He's alive and well. He's hanging out with my kids a couple blocks down from your studio.
This is so beautiful. Yeah. That's just like, I think when you were saying that, what really came up for me is that just the appreciation for life. And a lot of times people, especially with COVID, right, everybody was like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. But honestly, like, I'm really big on, there's nothing, it's good or bad, it just is.
Right.
And the more that we can really see things that way. And what's that saying? Like, if health or wealth without health is, I don't even know the end of that, but nothing, right? And I think it was very beautiful that you were able to see and pinpoint and be conscious that the material things weren't fixing what was internal. Yeah. And so one of the things that I want to talk about when you're working those 40 hours a week is working out of scarcity. And a lot of times people are not conscious of that. And because we can sit here all day long and say, I believe money's coming. But if we really wouldn't be working so much, if we already had the money, or, you know, if we'd be spending more time with our family, sometimes us doing those things is what attracts more money into our life, is because, again, it's what we'd be doing if we already had it. And I think it's, again, how beautiful how you're able to be conscious of that, because some people never see that. I see that so much, where people struggling to make money, or they're making money, but it's like, again, that same position where everything else is shit but the money. Like, when you get money, it shines light on the other parts of your life, you know? And I think that was a really good example. And so some other things that I want to talk about of your story was just the hardships of wanting to go see your father. I think that's one thing. And then also getting released from the bank. So
that's a really funny story. I've never actually talked about that.
Please. Yes, so, I love the stories.
My firing, if you will, got escalated to corporate. I never expected that to happen, but you know, somebody from corporate, from a specific department, called me. They said, "Hey, you know, if you don't return by this date, we can no longer guarantee your position." I was like, "Hey, look, I'm asking for an extended leave without pay." Mm-hmm. They're like, "Well, we cannot guarantee that. So if you don't come in," so they didn't want to say that I was going to get fired.
But they're just pretty much like,
right, like, letting you know this is about to happen. I'm like, just say it, you're going to fire me. Mm-hmm. Like, well, why not saying that? We cannot guarantee a position. It was just so funny how there was that debate on the phone with that person. And then sure enough, when I actually got let go, mm-hmm. I applied for unemployment. I had to go to court, actually, to get awarded unemployment because of the fact that I did not return to work. But it was because of those medical complications that my father had, mm-hmm. You know. And it wasn't something cool, especially when you devote yourself to so much time working with a company, and they're like, "Hey, look, we know you." They don't see that life situation happening. You're just a number at the end of the day. So it's kind of hard to come in peace with that. Well, at the time it was. Mm. And right now it's like, that's the best thing that could ever happen to me.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. But yeah, you're right when you say, "Hey, those financial hardships, a lot of people don't recognize them." I feel like if you truly adopt the mentality of a victim, you will never, because everything is happening to you versus things are happening for you. You know, it's one of those things where if that never happened in my life, I wouldn't be sitting here telling this story. Everybody, every single one of your listeners has an interesting story to say, but they just need to overcome every single obstacle that they have in order to truly say, "Hey, look, I recognize every single one of my obstacles." Mm. They were truly, you know, trying to shape me to the person that I have to become. So now, going through that, getting fired, getting a bankruptcy under my belt, that those are my medals of honor now, mm-hmm. because I'm able to recognize those things. But without all those struggles, I wouldn't have gone out of that comfort zone that I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, working 40 hours and then gigging 4 to 5 nights a week, not having a true life. That's the story of a lot of people here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's not cool. It's not pretty. And I see how a lot of marriages are destroyed. You know, mm-hmm. I'm blessed enough to be with the person that I've had a crush on my wife since seventh grade.
Okay, first off, like, I don't know if we can put a picture of her, but I seen you guys on Instagram. I was like, wow, what's her name?
Her name is Jessica.
Jessica. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Go look her up on Instagram.
Yeah, but truly, she has stood by my side ever since everything happened. And it's one of those things where, you know, when you recap everything that you have in your life and everything that's happening, you can truly count the people that really will help you in your life, you know, and I'm sure that you can attest to that. So,
yes. You know, I love the part that you're talking about getting released from the job was the best thing that ever happened to you. Because a lot of people would see that as the end of the world. And again, right. It's like, I like how you're really explaining to get out of the victim mentality. And it's like, sometimes we're not even conscious that we're in that mentality until someone else points it out. And sometimes I haven't even seen it for myself, like when I was doing it, until somebody else said those things to me. And I'm like, why are they making these excuses? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a mirror for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's very beautiful. So if anybody's in a position right now, guys, so please, this is why we do this podcast. It's like to use that as the example, like use that fuel for your fire and use it as a badge of honor. And so the next thing I want to talk about is the car is getting repossessed. And sure. I want to point this out because there's so much ego that, like, ego is really the main thing that gets bruised in situations like this. And there's a beautiful soul who reached out to me, and the same thing just happened to her this past week. And because of the mindset shift, and we talk again, nothing is good or bad, it just is. And it's also a really good sign that there is money coming your way, and it's more, I like to say, it's a test. Mm-hmm. So what was your mindset when that happened to you guys?
I think I was still in shock of everything that had happened.
Wow.
I know I was expecting it. But mm-hmm. I was just like, is it going to happen today? Is it going to happen today? And suddenly I walked to the parking lot to try to get in my car. I was like, oh, the car's not here. So did I park it here, or did it actually got repossessed today? Mm-hmm. So that's how our repossessions happened, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were forced to sell our home, my parents were living with us. So
wow.
We were basically going from a 3-bedroom house, and it was almost 3,000 square feet, to an 800 square foot apartment.
Wow.
And then by the time we got to our apartment, now we had a second child. So things just got harder and harder, you know, and that's truly where the boost, if you will, you know, because everybody, I feel like things happen where you're going to shift, but then you do get a boost of like, what are you going to do? Are you going to really kick into gear, whatever it is that you're working on? Mm. Or are you going to keep this like, hey, I can, you know, make ends meet. And I don't have to pay as much in rent, but yeah, that's where it really kicked into gears for us. So
I love it. This is so beautiful. And again, I love sharing these parts of the story before we talk about what you do, because one, obviously, like, you're just such an amazing act of service and stuff like that. But I guess people don't see the background in it, especially with TikTok and stuff like that. They're like, oh, they're just making videos on TikTok. I'm like, these people are showing up every single day saving. And so now I want to talk about how I manifested you.
Yeah.
So long story short, it's like everything happened for me so fast. And I want to point this out because I knew everything was going to happen really fast. And I was like, it's going to happen really fast. It's going to happen overnight. And then when it does on a material world, it doesn't really change, because internally, like, I was like, oh, well, I've already been living this as if I already manifested for so long. But so a lot of people, they think when I have the money, then I'll pay off all my credit cards and I'll do this and I'll do that. And so I had been down that route like a year ago, and I was like paying off credit cards, you know, doing the things. And then I would just get back in the same position because the internal, like the core beliefs didn't change, the core habits didn't change. Right. And we were talking about this on the call too. I want to bring it back up, but so my credit like didn't change. And I was like, okay, I know I need to hire somebody to help me with my credit. And I had the person, right? And I talked to them on the phone, and he told me what the business was, and which was, it was really good, but I was like, but he, I think he did it on the side.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to point this out because I've really noticed that I'm so in alignment with people who are just all in, like, this is what they not only teach, like help people with it, but they're like, everybody in the world needs to know about this. And so it took me forever because I had this guy's contact forever. And I was like, why am I not hiring him? And then I had a download that said it's right move, wrong person. And I was like, oh. And so then I literally got on TikTok. I found your TikTok. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. I made a TikTok and I asked my audience who they referred. Someone referred you. I watched your videos. I got full body chills, which is like, this is it. And that's when I connected with your team. And it was like, and I want to point out that the price was more. And I was like, oh, yeah, yes, please help me. And I just think, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the exchange and the, all the things that are happening in the background. And so it just feels so in alignment. So I manifested you. And then you're in like California. So I was like, holy shit, we got to get more podcasts.
No, that's actually a really cool story. And I actually saw a video that you posted on TikTok because really? That that follower that we have in common actually tagged me on the video as well. Oh! So I saw that video and I was just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'll be more than happy to help. But that's such a funny story, you know, and it's true. And if I could just add a little bit in regards to manifestation, I feel like most people out there, myself included at times, we're like, I want an extra $100 a month. I want an extra $100 a month. But in my opinion, this is just my two cents, an extra $100 a month doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. To me, manifestation happens in the form of opportunities.
Yes.
So it's one of those things that if people start realizing the fact that they're going to get what they want plus more, but it doesn't come in the form of that physical line, it comes in the form of opportunity.
Yeah.
Therefore, you do it and it manifests to you, then it's one of those things. And I was just listening to what you were sharing the other day on the call, you know, where somebody chimed in and said, hey, I wanted to make an extra $500 or something. And they had all these opportunities to make the money. They just randomly get $500.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like if more people realize that, then they would be more in tune with like, okay, how do I manifest wealth? Because at the end of the day, everything is just like you say, is energy. And I 100%, 200% believe that. But it's just, if we learn to actually manifest that correctly, and that's why I like your podcast, because you focus on that. Then more people will build wealth for sure. So
yeah, we like to call it the balance of the masculine and feminine energy. It's because like, again, we were talking about working out of scarcity, which is where I was at before. I don't know if I was at. I had five different jobs all at once. And I was like, why am I not rich? And I'm like, holy shit. I'm also like not eating. I'm super drained. So it wasn't the work that was wrong. It was more of my mentality. Because I didn't understand why I was working so much. I didn't understand the subconscious belief that, like, if I stop working, I won't make money. And my thoughts are creating my reality. So, therefore, when I did stop working, I didn't make any money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that I am so 1,000%, like, attracting every single thing. But it's like, even when I did start doing meditation, journaling every single day, then I only switched my energy where I was like, if I don't journal today, I won't make money. And then that became my reality.
Right.
So it really is the balance of both. Like when you say I want $1,000, $1 million company, like it is coming. And like how you said, it comes in form of opportunity. It's just that people, they just don't meet their manifestation halfway. Right. And so, yeah, you're the prime example because it's like, yes, move. You can do it. You know?
Yeah. People don't want to be held accountable. Most people, I would say, don't want to be held accountable. And but definitely it's one of those things that happens, you know, it's like, and you know, you often journal. At the moment?
Every single day. Yeah.
Okay. So a little funny story about that. When this happened to me, when my whole shifts started happening and I actually kicked into gears, I made an office out of my walk-in closet, out of my coat closet. I was able to put a desk and a chair in there. And that's where I would journal every day. I would get up around 3:30 in the morning, learn everything I could about credit because I did have a day job. And then I was trying to go to the gym, try to lose a little bit of weight. So I was like, okay, I got to squeeze this in. And I remember clearly saying, hey, the Financial ER, which is my company, it's going to help 100 new families every single month. And I can easily tell you, I've been blessed enough to be able to say that we have surpassed that number on a month-to-month basis. So journaling is key to this, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. I always tell my clients, like, when you see it in your own handwriting, that's when it manifests, because your subconscious mind picks it up faster because you see it. You could lose the paper. It's not a big deal. It's like mostly it's like, oh, your mind is being reprogrammed because, again, you see it in your own handwriting.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I heard? This is actually coming from Amway. I heard that your brain doesn't distinguish between the truth or false.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to lie to yourself, might as well lie to yourself. Then you're going to make something happen, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where like, I'll sneak in, an extra bite of something I'm not supposed to. And then I lied to myself. I was like, hey, if I'm going to actually lie to myself, let me make it worth it,
Yeah.
So
that is such a good rule of thumb. So good. So now let's get into the nitty gritty of your business.
Sure.
And one of the amazing things that you were talking about is having a team. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to break down so you had the idea for you're learning about credit.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, you started learning about it for yourself first, right?
Right. Yeah. So, after I declared bankruptcy, one of my buddies, he's like, hey, I can help you fix your credit. I didn't even know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Credit repair was a thing. I had no clue about it. So after kind of going through the process with him for about 8-9 months, I was like, hey, nothing has changed. But as I was seeking explanations, none of the explanations really made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, let me look into this myself. And then that's where my learning journey really began. And I was like, okay, he's doing this, but this seems to be a lot more effective. And then from there, it's like, this seems to be a lot more effective, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to call myself an expert or a guru. I feel like whenever somebody calls themselves that, that's like they feel like they have to prove something to someone.
Oh, wow.
So I like to call myself a practitioner, if you will. I'm always constantly learning. This is a never-ending story for sure. There's always new techniques and new ways and new laws that are coming out that make you really enhance the process of how you are going to help somebody.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I love how you said, what did you say, practitioner?
Practitioner, right. So I have my credit practice, if you will.
Oh, see, I love that. You know what? I think I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah.
I like that because you're right. It's like always a process of learning. It never stops. And same thing with money mindset. It's like the fears and the scarcity mindset, they just shift, when more money comes. Now it's like more people and all this different things. So I'm like, the work never really stops. It just gets deeper and deeper. So so you started, what is it? Writing off.
So, right. I started journaling. Hey, I'm going to be able to help 100 families every mm-hmm. single month. And then it just simply escalated from there. Got to the point where my wife was actually the one that suggested, hey, you should jump on TikTok and do some TikToks with what you've learned. I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? So I did.
Go, Jessica.
My second TikTok actually blew up, giving me 1.2 million views, over 15,000 shares. It's like, all right, what's going on here,
You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so exactly. So then from there, it was just like people were seeking services. Like, hey, can you help me with my credit? Can you help me with my credit? And it got to the point where I was like, I don't know. Can I help you with your credit?
Mm.
It's like, okay, if I'm going to get serious about this, then, I need to put things on paper, right?
Wow.
And so, opened up an LLC and did the whole thing to be a legitimate business. So, which it's easier than you actually think. Right?
It's so easy, guys.
Right. Yeah, so people think like, oh my gosh, I'm going to open up a business and I have to have all this. In reality, I feel like those people that are going to try to open up a business and have this whole entire plan together before they actually do it are the ones that often don't.
Because mm-hmm, they just never go.
I was like, all right, let's go. Let's see what happens along the way. And right now I'm blessed enough to say that, I am learning to turn the wheels of the machine as I go.
Mm-hmm.
So even though my team and I made it to the Millionaires Club in 15 months,
mm-hmm.
I can comfortably sit here and tell you, we did not have all this planned out.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as planned for success. It was all manifestation and it was mm-hmm. all measuring numbers. So,
oh, measuring numbers. This makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love how you said that your video blew up and then you started the services. The same thing happened for me too.
Yeah.
That is so huge. And a lot of people think, again, that, well, he's just started his business and then he promoted it on TikTok. Guys, take note of this, literally.
Nope. Yeah, no, I was not on paper when my whole TikTok blew up for sure. That's when I decided to actually do this for a career
mm-hmm.
and set up shop and everything. And, I'll tell you a really funny story about setting up an actual office because my office is virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody, because of COVID, everybody works from home and that's great. It's been working out for us. But the thing about it is that I was working right before I started doing credit repair for full time. I was working with a friend at a used dealership, right? Mm-hmm. And he's one of my great friends. And I just happened to do all his marketing and online sales for his used cars. So when I told him that I was leaving, well, prior to me telling him that I was leaving, I was going to rent out a little small office space right next to his dealership. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so many people need help with their credit right here, you know, and I'm going to be able to get referrals from this place. And, you know, I was not thinking, okay, TikTok is going to blow up and this and that. Mm. Again, small mentality, right? So then I paid him 3 months worth of a lease in advance. I signed an agreement with him. And then when I told him I'm leaving your company, trying to do this full time, he felt like he was losing his right hand out of his business. Mm. So he tore that contract. And he says, I cannot give you this office space.
Wow.
Again, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Wow. This is so beautiful, because what I see, a lot of people are scared to leave their jobs and stuff like that. To, like, let's say that even all those external things are happening, like TikTok is blowing up, I think this is time for me to go. Fear is one thing, but I think guilt is another thing. And I see a lot of people, like even myself included, like I was staying at the shop because I was like, oh my God, they need me. Like, they won't be able to manage without me or whatever. Right.
Sure.
And that's ego. You know what I mean? And so when I left the job that I was working at, same situation, like our stories are so exactly the same. I was like, I just felt so bad. I was like, no. And then I really just flipped the mindset. I was like, me leaving here is going to be the best thing that ever happens to this company. And then she hired 3 people after I left, which is amazing.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's like how this cycle like had to happen to you in order for it to manifest the way that it is now. But I just wanted to point that out for anybody who's like, I feel bad if I go. Like, guys, okay, first of all, you're not going to not see any of the people that you work with anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if they want to hang out with you, they'll hit you up. But so yeah, getting back to your story, mm-hmm. you didn't get the office, so you started working from home. What was the next move?
So the next move was really when TikTok started blowing up. I talked to one of my friends, or actually he approached me. I told him kind of like what I was doing. And he's like, hey, let me work with you. I want to see what this is about. And he is actually my business partner today. I'm the dreamer. He's the numbers. He's the analytics side of the business. And without him, I could comfortably say that we wouldn't have the business that we have today.
Wow.
So I've been blessed enough to have an amazing business partner. Daniel, I appreciate you, brother. I love you.
Shout out, Daniel. Yes.
Definitely. So he is a natural born salesman.
Mm.
So, you know, the ability for him to explain the benefit of our program to somebody just makes sense. You know, you'd be kind of dumb to not jump on board if you're really serious about the health of your credit or your financial future. So, you know, so we sat down. It's like, hey, look, I believe that we can blow this up. So that's really where things started taking off as far as expanding our business,
mm-hmm.
you know, hiring customer service reps, hiring more sales staff, mm-hmm. and then growing the business, growing our back office, you know, all that stuff really. So, but everything, you know, is one of those things that, again, I cannot take credit for. Everything was manifested. Everything that I wrote on that journal happened because the right people came into my life.
Oh,
so
chills. So good. So my question is for you, right? You're hiring people. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of people get stuck here because they're like, they take all the work on from themselves. And I really want to point out that how you identified that you're the vision and he is the numbers. I think this is so important to point out in this podcast, because a lot of people think that they have to be everything. And what I've noticed throughout, like even with your story, it's a prime example, is that those two type of duos, what manifests the fastest, because again, you're on your path of least resistance. Like, if he was here to sit here and try to create, it'd be resistance. Or if you're like crunching numbers, it's resistance, you know. And not saying that you guys can't do that, but I'm saying, I think you guys set a really good example.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you notice while you're hiring people?
That I notice as far as
like
goes.
What some of the things that you look for when you're hiring people?
I think more than anything, how you conduct yourself, you know, because we've had quite a few interviews recently to try to expand our team. And it's like, you know, if you're late and you're not even telling us, hey, I'm stuck in traffic, you know, it's like, hey, that speaks volumes of you, you know.
Mm.
You can't hold yourself accountable for a meeting. Other things too, it's like when I'm hiring somebody is that level of professionalism. How do you actually handle somebody? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that most people that have a complaint about anything in life really is because they lack of an understanding of the process. Mm-hmm. So, and this takes me always back to when I would work at the bank, when somebody would come upset because they got some type of service fee or they got some type of fee, something to do with their money. You never want to mess with people's money or food, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's like danger zone. Yeah. So, you know, me sitting down as a banker at the bank, it's like, you know, and I had an angry customer. It's like, okay, how am I going to break it down to him that he messed up? Mm. You know, and it's one of those things where like most people don't understand that there's a specific process to everything in life. Mm. And it's like nobody wants to be held accountable. Like, hey, where's my money? You know, why am I getting charged all these fees? No one ever came to the bank or to, you know, what I do for a living, say, hey, I messed up. Can you help me understand this? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a big issue. That's a big question to me when I'm going to hire somebody. It's like, okay, how do you handle a client? Mm-hmm. You know? So when I hear principles of helping them do basic understanding of the process, that's what I look for personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who's Diana?
Diana?
Yeah. Is she on your team? It's Diana,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Diana is part of my team. What? Okay. Did you come across Diana?
I called her the other day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I called her yesterday. She was great. We were chatting like we were best friends.
Oh, so my gosh. That's so funny.
It was so funny. I was like, yeah, Ricardo's coming down to a podcast. She's like, no way. Let me listen. She was so amazing. And I just want to point out, Diana, hello. I told you were going to do a podcast. Now we're talking about you. But I think you did an amazing job with not only setting an example, building a team, guys, don't do it all on your own. And then two, the people, how you really sorted them out, because so good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So let's get into some of the myths. Okay. Remember when we were on the call the other day mm-hmm. and I couldn't figure out the word I wanted to use? Myth.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And I was like thinking of that word forever. And I was watching TV last night and someone said it and I was like, that was the word. So I'm happy I found it before we got on our podcast. But, so what are some of the biggest myths about credit repair or the things that will help and the things that are just kind of like everybody thinks, but it's not really what.
Gotcha. Helps. Yeah. There's quite a few, but I'll name some of the most common ones. Mm-hmm. One thing I can tell you for sure is, and I always, anytime I go live on TikTok, I always open up with the same thing. Anytime you're going to attempt to fix your credit, don't expect this to be easy. There's mm-hmm. nothing cool going through the credit repair process, mm-hmm. you know, and it upsets me as you know, I love to educate people about this, but it upsets me as a person when I see credit repair companies actually advertising, can you credit repair in as little as 60 days or as little as 90 days? Mm-hmm. What you have to realize is that this is an entire process and no one can ever guarantee you a result or a specific time frame. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge myth. There's no such thing as I need to get my credit fixed ASAP. Mm-hmm. If you ever build credit, then you realize that it was an entire process. You don't get to that 700 score in a matter of 30 days or 60 days, right?
Yeah.
It takes time. Sometimes it takes years. So the same thing with credit repair. It's a process. You know, I always compare it to Amazon two-day shipping. This is not Amazon two-day shipping. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like growing muscle, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. At first you won't notice it, but then you'll know it's a little mass there, muscle. Yeah. Something like that. But I would say another thing is, it's not such a myth, but rather it's a course of action that a lot of people take when they try to improve their credit on their own without seeking advice first. If you have a bunch of collections, for example, or a bunch of charge-offs, for those of you guys that don't know what charge-offs are, it's when you stop paying your credit card and the bank decides to charge it off, mm-hmm. right? They're no longer seeking monthly payment from you, which is a negative remark on your credit. If you're like, you know what, I've had these collections or these charge-offs on my credit for 2-3 years, my credit score has not improved, let me just go ahead and pay these.
Mm.
And that way my credit can improve.
Yeah, this is so good.
99.999999% of the time, those will never be deleted by paying them off. And this is what most people don't realize. I would say common sense is if you're my debt collector and I owe you something, and I pay you, I'm squared with you. So therefore, you shouldn't be affecting me anymore. But paying off your collection or your charge-off doesn't translate to credit improvement mm-hmm. most of the time. And this is what most people don't realize. When we have our consultations, we go through people's credit reports. Hey, I paid that 2-3 years ago. Why is it still there? It's like, oh, well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, just because you paid it doesn't mean it's getting taken off.
Right, exactly. It's one of those things that people don't realize often. And then I would say the third thing, again, it's not really a myth, but it's what I see most common that people don't realize is the use of a credit card. A credit card is an important tool, but it's a double-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. You can either use it to your benefit or to your disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So most people ask me, what is the best way to use a credit card? And it's very simple. You can use it throughout the month. That's mm-hmm. fine. But there's something called your statement cycle. There's a specific date when your statement cycle closes. Mm-hmm. If you carry a high balance, your credit score is going to go down. Why? Because that credit card reports to the credit bureaus how much of a balance you're carrying. Therefore, if, for example, I'm going to use well-rounded numbers.
Yes.
If you have a credit limit of $1,000 and the balance reported is $800, to the credit system, you're seen as a high risk. You're depending heavily on your credit, mm-hmm. right? Whereas people that know this, and they're like, okay, my statement cycle is about to close. Let me bring my balance down to only $200 or $100. And therefore, because of the fact that you're closing out your statement cycle with a very low balance, you're considered less of a risk. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem like you're too dependent on your credit. Mm-hmm. Therefore, usually your credit score goes up. These are little points that can make such a huge impact on someone's credit score. And actually, one of our team members used this method, and her credit score went up about 67 points per bureau.
Wow.
So it's one of those things like, whoa, this really matters. Because how much you utilize of your credit counts for 30% of your overall score.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people call them myths per se, but it's more points that will really make a difference, you know, mm-hmm. on your credit journey.
Yes. This is so good. I just love debunking all this stuff because so many people aren't conscious of it. And again, that's why I just love that you do this, because it's like one of those things, like when you learn it for yourself, you're like, everybody in the world needs to know about this, right?
Yeah. And it's when you learn about how the credit system works, it just becomes common sense. But I will tell you one of the biggest ones too. I think we touched base on the call the other day.
Yeah.
When you finish paying your car loan,
mm-hmm.
right? So most people are like, hey, you know, and it's a proud moment. I just paid off $10, $20, $30, $40,000, right? I should be rewarded. But on credit, it doesn't translate to your credit score going up. It actually translates most of the time to your credit score going down.
That's what happened to me.
Because technically, you're closing off a loan, and that doesn't look good in the eyes of the credit system. But this is just a temporary score decrease. No one has control over this. It's about to happen to everybody. It happened to me. It happened to everyone. I paid off their loan. So.
Okay. I love this because, okay. One of the number one questions that I ask my clients, like, okay, let's pretend like thinking from this abundant mindset, right? It was when you think from this abundant mindset is when you really start operating at this highest frequency. So a lot of people say, I want the $10,000, I want the $100K, whatever it is, so I can pay off my debt. And I just love that we're debunking this right now, because they don't realize, like, even if you pay off your car, how it, one, makes your credit go down.
Yeah.
I didn't know this guy's like, I'm just, hello. And then closing accounts too. I closed my accounts. And it hurt me so bad, but I had no idea, because I was like, well, if I close it, then I won't spend any more money. And then again, because remember I told you I was in those cycles, like, mm-hmm. well, if I don't spend money on it, then I won't get back in the same position. And then I was like, oh, so that just ruined the whole entire time span of me having this credit. Stuff like that, I didn't know either. So let's say someone did have a large sum of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just manifested for them. What would you suggest that they do with that money, opposed to just paying everything off? I mean, or what would you suggest?
Let's say somebody came into a large sum of money. Now, I would just say what I would do, okay, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm not a financial advisor or anything. But what I would do, let's say with $100,000, I would definitely talk to a financial advisor.
Yes, please.
Why? Because this is what they do for a living. Their specific position is, well, it depends on what aligns for your goals, but I don't think anybody comes into a large sum of money saying, hey, I want to lose this money, right? I want to grow it. How can I make money, right? So talking to a financial advisor will definitely put you on the spot of what is the best way to conduct that money. Now, as opposed to paying off your debts, that's great and everything. But the problem that I have that I come across with a lot of clients is that everybody wants to fix their credit, but nobody wants to change their habits, which is what we were talking about earlier.
Atomic habits.
Right. So it doesn't matter if you have $100,000 and you have a debt of $100,000 and you pay it off. If you don't change that habit that got you to $100,000 debt, you're bound to do it again over and over and over. And, you know, this kind of brought me back to a consultation I had with a client one time where they had two bankruptcies and then now it looked like they were going for possibly a third one if they could. So I was like, hey, my services are not right for you. It sounds like you need a financial coach at the moment. Of course, they were upset, but I'm not the type of person that likes to sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. I could have easily said, yes, I'll take you on my services and whatnot, but that would have been a disservice. It's a clear example of if your financial habits don't change, then your outcome is never going to change. Mm. So it has all to do with, you know, manifesting. It has to do with your mindset. So it just happens, you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, that's what I would do for sure. You know, change my financial habits and look for a financial advisor as to how can I make this money grow? I don't want to spend it.
Yes. Ah, it's so good. So beautiful. So we're running up on the end here, but I really want to get into your services. How do you guys specifically serve people and how can they work with you?
Yeah. So by the way, are you okay if I send you like a link for this?
Yes. Okay, awesome. Okay. So it'll go out to the email list. It'll be a show notes for you guys on YouTube, everything.
Yeah, definitely. And then I'll send you a link with a specific code that your users can do. That way we can track that to come from you. So as to what I do, you know, what our services are, is we help people who have collections or charge-offs or just derogatory items on their credit, and they have a dream, whether it's to buy a house, to buy a car, or to improve their credit for work purposes. A lot of these people need to get a better job or get recently hired, but their credit will prevent them from keeping that job. So that's where we come in to help them improve their credit overall. And then once we get to work with them, we develop a plan that's going to put them on the right path. And then we do all the heavy lifting, but we try to educate them as much as possible as to, hey, because this is a relationship that we start. Once I start working with a client, not only do I have a responsibility, but so do they. Mm-hmm. Again, we were talking about habits. Do not spend more than this on a credit card. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any credit cards, great. Here's a list of credit cards for you to open, right? But it's just educating is a big part of our service. You know, answering all those questions. And of course, one of the things that I love is that I actually get to work with professionals like attorneys. Mm-hmm. Haseeb, who's my dude all the way in Chicago, he sues debt collectors for a living. Wow. And I love what he does because he does a service just like I do on TikTok, which is put as much free information as possible. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, we actually are going to start working with a financial advisor pretty soon. To actually get some of these clients ready to like, hey, you know, do you need help improving your financial status? Here's another contact that we can provide you with. So more than anything, we try to focus on the overall well-being of your financial liberty versus just simply providing a service of like, let me just help you improve your credit. And that's about it. And I think that this is what really makes a difference aside from all the companies that exist. There's no such thing as competition. It's all based on what you provide. The more value you provide to people, the more you stand out. Mm-hmm. So that is what we do for as far as our services go.
Ah, so good. Yeah. And people can book a free consultation.
Yeah, so anybody that's interested or that wants to see if our services are right for you, they can book a free consultation. And then I'll be sending you the link for that. And of course, anybody that signs up through the podcast, we'll have a special discount. So
you have no idea how excited I am about this. This is so it feels like I talk about how, again, I've manifested a lot of material things. And when those things came, I actually felt really numb.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know. It's not as filling as you thought it's going to be, right? Yeah.
But these things are where I'm like, this is why I did it. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm so happy that you know what I mean, because a lot of people don't know what I mean by that.
It's like, I mean, like, I'll tell you, because I still struggle with a lot of things. One of the main things I struggle with is being overweight and controlling my eating habits. That is, I think, my biggest struggle at the moment. And it's one of those things where, like, I'll be hungry, like, oh, let me just get something that will satisfy that craving. And when I actually put it in my belly, it didn't fail me as I mean, I'm full physically,
but you didn't get that like
Yeah.
Adrenaline rush.
Right. I was looking for a rush. And it never came. Yeah. Calories were the only thing that came out of it, you know?
Wow.
So I know what you mean. Definitely is not filling, but yeah, materialistic things won't fill you either.
Yeah. It's like, it's honestly the acts of service that like make me feel more excited, the testimonies and everything. And I think the biggest thing is telling the stories. And so I've always been like a really big storyteller and listener. Like anytime you say like, oh, let me tell you this funny little story, I'm like, yes, it makes me so excited. Because the story is what evokes that emotion and helps the dopamine. And I'm just like, wow. And I think it just helps things click for so many people. So yeah, guys, book your free consultation. I talked with Randall. Shout out Randall.
Kendall.
Yeah,
Kendall is
easy. Or Kendall. I always call him Randall. I feel like I saved his phone number as Randall too. Kendall. Okay, that's sorry, funny. Kendall.
We're gonna rename him. We're gonna put a new badge on him.
He's gonna be like, I talked to her for like 45 minutes and then she forgot my name. I swear we were having this whole conversation about
that's funny.
And everybody on your team just feels like they're my friends.
Yeah, and you know what's funny right now that you said Diana, she's actually from a banking background as well.
Wow.
It's cool to have people, you know, with that background of financials and really take that service up to that next level. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, we have a great team. We've been blessed to have a great team. So yeah.
Oh, it's so good. All right. We're coming up on the end. So I would love to know where can people find you? Where are you most present?
You know, I would say on TikTok, social media, Instagram and TikTok are the best place to find me. My handle is thatguy.ricardo. You can find me with that. There's an ugly mugshot of me in a blue suit.
Whatever.
Oh, you want to hear a funny story about
yes,
that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, my wife is a photographer.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, babe, I need to take a professional picture, you know, a professional looking picture. And we were living in the apartment at the time. It's like, okay, well, let me just do a quick headshot off of you. So I put on my shirt, I put on my blazer, and I had shorts and sandals underneath, right? So, you know, it looks like a great looking picture, but it's just like, if you saw underneath, it's just, you know, oh, yeah. The days in the apartment.
See, that is so funny because people don't even know these things. And I feel like a lot of my stuff is like that too. Mm-hmm. Or even the pictures that I put on social media where I'm like, I don't know. They really have no idea what's going on in the background. And
right.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I think everybody likes to portray, a lot of people on social media like to portray this perfection or this rich lifestyle. I actually don't. I don't know why.
Mm.
I never show where I live. Mm-hmm. I never show the cars that I have or anything like that because I consider, I don't like to come off as flexing it.
Yeah.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people like to do that.
Mm.
But I don't know. If I could just say, if anybody's looking to manifest anything, the more humble you appear to people, the more you connect with them. I feel like nowadays, because of social media, people are less likely to do business with a huge company or corporation, and they would rather prefer to do business with more of a human being, if you will, you know. So that's one of the things that has happened and that we've noticed. Like, people really identify with us because I'm just your regular average guy. I'm that guy Ricardo.
Yeah, guys, and whatever it is that you're taking from this episode, whether it's like certain things from his story, certain topics that we're talking about, really pay attention to how it makes your body physically feel. Like I said, certain such things that we're talking about gives me full body chills. And the reason why your body reacts like this, like if you get teary-eyed when you're talking about something, or if you get chills, or your hairs on your arms stick up, it's because it's something that your subconscious mind really resonates, and it's part of your story. So if the part where, I don't know, where you blew up on TikTok and then you started into business, whatever resonates, guys, is what you want to take action on. And that's why you're hearing this message, because every single thing in your reality is manifested. Like, whoever's watching this right now is watching it for a reason, right?
Does it happen to you, Anita, that the more you grow, the more opportunity you realize that there is?
So many.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that I have this subconscious fear, and we were just talking about this, of like, if I blow up, then I'm not going to be able to do voice memos and connect with people, even the DMs and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, I love connecting with people. And I had this fear, like, if I blow up, I won't be able to do that anymore. And some people message me and they're like, I can't believe you're reading this. And it makes me cry. Like, it makes me so sad. I'm like, no, I don't want people to think that I wouldn't, you know, want to connect with them like that. So I think what I really take it in where I'm at right now. And I'm like, I'm so grateful for the connections that I have, whether it's someone through DMs, someone I'm meeting, my Uber drivers, I always share the podcast, you know what I mean? Just little things like that, because I'm like, I'm human, you know? And so sometimes right. like people just put you on this pedestal, and the faster that they can take you off of that pedestal, that they'll just manifest exponential growth, you know? And see that they're just as average as us, you know?
No, I hear you. I hear you. That's true.
All right. So one last question for you, and we're wrapping things up here. So this is a question that I ask all of my coaching clients. And again, it's just really to help you think from the abundant mindset and just really get clear on what your intuition's telling you to do. So are you ready?
Yes.
So the question is, an extra $1 million... I just handed you the check right now. Mm-hmm. It's already in your account. You can go do whatever after here. What would be the first thing that you would do today, like physically today?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Right? Is that the typical answer you get? I don't know.
You know, the typical answer that I get is pay off debt. And I'm like, really? Thursday in San Diego and you're going to pay off debt right now?
Right. You know, it's funny. The first thing, here goes me and my struggles. The first thing I was actually going to say that came to mind is, I would go to lunch.
I was going to ask you if you want to get lunch after this.
Yeah. So what's funny is, I don't know. That's a really good question. And I've never really thought about that. I think we're going to sit here for the next 45 minutes just thinking about the answer, because I don't know. But if, again, I think going back to where I'm at, in my headspace is, if I was to be handed $1 million, I would just truly look for what's the best way to make those $1 million work to me. There is a saying that I read in social media, on posts and stuff like that. It's like, don't work hard for money, make money work hard for you.
Yes.
I never experienced that until maybe a few months ago when I just saw my investment returns. It's just like, hey, your money made a little bit of money. It's like, what? And it wasn't much.
Yeah.
You know, it was like $40. But I was just like, what? I made $40 doing nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, honestly, that was kind of such a rush to see that. I'm like, okay, there's something here that I don't know how it works, but I want to find out. And I want to invest more time into like, how does money actually grow? You know, how does wealth happen? And it's just, again, it just has to do with mindset, I would say. So I think that's where I would put those $1 million. It's like, okay, I don't need them.
So
I think that's the easiest way I can answer that.
No, I love it. So, so good. And I want to thank you again for your time, your energy, coming all the way down here to San Diego. And
it was fun.
Right. And again, thank you for being of service, setting an example that everything and anything is possible. And you guys, again, can reach out to him on social media. Please screenshot this. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, leave a comment. Seriously, we really do read every single comment and everything. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. And if I can just leave you guys with one last message, listen to Anita, listen to the podcast, because it's true. The more you believe in yourself, the more things are going to start happening. Those things that you write in your journal, you're going to start manifesting into opportunities, which will give you the means to actually create wealth. So
thank you guys so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes, or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy, and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.